I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
You need him? Yeah. Every hour?
Every hour?
Every hour? All right, because when you get that really into your spirit, then it's good stuff. Amen? Mm. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. God is good all the time, right?
Yes.
I believe so. I believe so. Pastor Dan.
Jennifer is, she works at a school in a First Nations community, and in Pekanjikum. Some of you know about it, but Pekanjikum is riddled with spiritual darkness. There are suicides regularly in a community of, what, 1,500 people? 2,800? 2,800 people, and there are suicides on just a regular basis amongst young people. And I want to call Jen forward, and I want to pray for her and pray for this community, because it's a dark, dark place, and there needs to be light, and there needs to be breaking of spiritual bondage and just generational curses that have been passed on and passed on. Alcoholism, and just, it's just riddled. It's a dark, dark place, and they need prayer. They need our prayer. They need our support. And teachers have quit and left because of the challenges that are presented in the schools. And Jen's continued to stay and believe that God's going to use her to make a difference. So can I get just some of the elders and some of the women?
They know who they are.
Yeah. To come forward and pray for Jen and this community of Pekanjikum.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Jesus. Jesus. Glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Joel 2, verse 1 to 17. Sound the trumpets in Jerusalem. Raise the alarm on thy holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is the day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep and blackness. Suddenly, like a dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land lies as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. And the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders. The day of the Lord is an awesome, terrible thing. Who can possibly survive? That is why the Lord says, "Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows? Perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you'll be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. Blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Gather all the people, the elders, the children, and even the babies. Call the bridegroom from his quarters and the bride from her private room. Let the priests who minister the Lord's presence stand and weep between the entry room to the temple and the altar. Let them pray, spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke for unbelieving foreigners who say, has the God of Israel left them?
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for thy word. Your word is truth. Let us, Lord, understand what it means to blow the trumpet in Zion, to sound the alarm on the holy mountain of Israel. Lord, we pray today, Father God, that your spirit would be strong with us today to give us the unction. As we said earlier, we can do nothing without you. So, Lord, we pray, God, that you would inspire us, Lord, to receive from you today. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Whenever I think of this text of Scripture, I think of a song. I think of Big John Hall. Some of you may have heard of Big John Hall. He's a Texan singer that would sing at David Wilkerson crusades and was with David Wilkerson different times. And I actually had a chance to hear Big John Hall from Texas, a friend of David Wilkerson when they were in Toronto back in the early 80s. Trisha knows that song. Would you come and would you sing the chorus of that? Here's what the trumpet sounds like. We got special effects today. Yeah. Oh, no? Give us a trumpet blast, children. Blast the trumpet. Oh, we got the trumpeter coming. Trumpet in Zion, Zion. Joel chapter 2. This week in Mexico, Mexico City experienced the worst earthquake that it had received since 1985. I think you'd have to have your head pretty far into the sand not to know that that was going on this week. In fact, the earthquake hit exactly 32 years to the day of the 1985 earthquake. In fact, on the day of that earthquake this past week, let me just rest. So since that day, since the earthquake in 1985, they have upgraded the building codes. They have installed an alarm system that's throughout Mexico City with sirens and particular sound to give an early warning alarm for oncoming devastating earthquakes. So in fact, now I get back to it. On this day, this past week, celebrating or understanding or remembering the 1985 earthquake that killed 10,000 people in that city. Mexico City is the largest city in the Americas. There's more people in Mexico City than there is in the province of Ontario, squished together. In fact, there's about double the number of people in Mexico City than there is in the province of Ontario, squished together. So on this particular day this week, on the anniversary of the 1985 earthquake, they did a drill. They had the sirens blaring. It was known. It was in the paper. It was on the television. It was in the radio. And so everybody knew that at a certain time the alarm would sound. And so at 11 o'clock exactly this past week, the alarms sounded for the earthquake alert. And everybody, in a very orderly manner, streamed out of all of the government offices downtown Mexico City. Everybody streamed out of their apartment buildings. The businesses were temporarily closed. Everybody came out into the street in such an orderly fashion that the last person was able to lock the door of the business and whatever else. They came out, and the streets were packed with people. Everybody came out at the heed of the warning of the alarm, and then they did a moment's silence, remembering those people that had passed away 32 years ago that day. Then, after a moment's silence, everybody that was in the street began to file their way back into their office buildings, back into their schools, back into the elementary schools and the high schools and the college and universities, back into their apartment buildings, back into their places of business. Everybody filed back in. And then at 1:15, which is siesta time in Mexico, they have a late lunch, starts at 1 o'clock. At 1:15. 75 miles away, 100 and some kilometers away, 7.1 earthquake hits. The alarm system went off 5 seconds after the earthquake hit. And so while the buildings are beginning, 5 seconds doesn't sound like very much, does it? Well, hold your breath for 5 seconds. Thank you. Just, well, you know, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, five Mississippi. You know, sounds pretty easy now. But imagine that everything's shaking and those 5 seconds are going on, and you know full well what is taking place, and then you hear the alarms begin to sound, and you go, yeah. In those, it didn't just last 5 seconds, it actually lasted a minute and a half. Now, a minute and a half of 7.1 earthquake is a long time to shake. Buildings began to sway like bulrushes in the wind, and one of the elementary schools where, don't forget, all of those children, those precious children and teachers, as we have prayed for precious children and teachers this morning, all of those precious children and teachers who had been out safely in the street, having heeded the early warning, went back in, and their three-story school collapsed completely on top of those elementary school children. I didn't get the last death count, but there was at least 35 children that perished in that school. Having been out, having heeded the alarm, having been prepared, and having went back in. No one would have thought that on the very day that they tested the alarm system, that they would have needed that alarm system to work effectively to warn the citizens of that great city. Yesterday was September the 23rd. If you have your apps, you'll look and find, oh yes, it was September the 23rd yesterday. And it was prophesied in a number of quarters of those of the dispensational ilk, and that is fine, I love them, they're my friends, that the Lord would come on the 23rd. I got a a Facebook message from somebody on Saturday night and said, I was a university student from U of O, and said, you know, have you heard about the Lord coming on the 23rd? Have you heard the sign of Revelation being fulfilled, the lining up of the planets? And I responded back and said, yes, I have, but I'm still preparing my sermon for tomorrow morning. And they said, good idea, Pastor. And so here we are on the 24th of September, and the return of Jesus, the day of the Lord, or however you want to look at those particular things, has not happened. I'm not sure how they calculated the date. I'm not really into that whole thing, but I do know that it coincides with the Feast of Trumpets. Calculated, we're just finishing up the Feast of Trumpets in Israel. Of course, there is the Feast of Trumpets, which brings in which in modern Jewry is called Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, followed by the most celebrated day. The highest day followed by the most solemn day, which is the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. And so I understand somehow they worked out and calculated and all this kind of thought and figured out that Jesus would return, the Day of the Lord would start, or however they look at it, on that particular date in September the 23rd in 2017, and they had it all figured out. Anyways, we can say today that it was a false alarm. Why? Because I'm here standing and preaching to you, and if it hadn't have been, then you would have had a far better preacher today than me. Amen? We had some wonderful worship, but it would be a lot better. No offense intended to my beloved wife and those that were involved in the praise team this morning, but it would be a lot better with Jesus in glory. Amen? But false alarm. But just because there is a false alarm doesn't mean that we should ignore all alarms. What do you do when there's an alarm that goes off? My wife and I do not often go to a fancy hotel. But, as I continue on, despite my wife's objections. Yeah. She was already warned. Don't worry, Josiah. Don't worry. And she gave approval. Well, she kind of gave approval. All right. Well, it almost gave approval. So I'm ignoring the warnings right now. Anyways, you know, we don't often go to a fancy hotel room, but it's interesting that twice in our life, when we went to a kind of a fancy hotel in the middle of the night, in both of those places, the fire alarm goes off. One time in Ottawa and one time in Toronto. On the 22nd floor. And I'm up, I'm ready, alarm, and I'm the 22nd floor, and I'm ready to go, and I'm, let's go, dear. And she says, not going out there and seeing the public this way. And so she heads to the bathroom. I'm heading to the stairwell, she's heading to the bathroom. And then I, at the stairwell, I'm going, you know, because we're only married very short time that first time. And I'm going, I guess I can't leave her. In a burning building, it just wouldn't look right. And so I go back into the place, and I look around. I don't smell any smoke and whatever else, and the alarms are going, and she's in the bathroom starting to get ready, you know, get herself ready because she doesn't want to go down there in her nightdress and getting ready and whatever else. And you know, 10 minutes have gone in, and I'm gone over to the balcony, and I look down, and I don't see fire coming out of any of the windows, and there's a fire truck does come, but, you know, I don't see anything that's going on. I go back out into the hallway. I look around while she's getting ready. I go out to I open up the stairwell. I smell for smoke. I'm going all over the place on the floor, wandering around, waiting for her to get ready so I can, I tested the push button to see if the elevators were still working, and I'm going back and forth waiting for her to get herself dressed, ready, her makeup and hair done, so that we can go outside in the street and not burn to death. But then the alarm stopped, and some kind of announcement goes, and it's all clear. And then when we're in, then a couple of years later, we're in Toronto, and we're at a general conference of the Evangelical Missionary Church, and sure enough, we're sleeping, and the alarms go off. Now, we're only on the third floor, I think, this time. And so I go out and look at the balcony, and I think, you know, I can make it while she's getting dressed, you know, while she's starting the process of getting ready, while she's going through this process, I go and I think, yeah, I can at least, if, you know, if the flames get into the apartment, I can at least jump there. Someone can catch me. You know, so I'm not so worried that time. So we have a habit of ignoring fire alarms. But why should we even have an alarm? A practice alarm isn't a false alarm. It's a warning that will happen. It's a warning that something is going to happen. Seismologists estimated that there would be another major earthquake in Mexico City since the 1985 earthquake. And they estimated that would happen within 100 years. And it was 99%. 99%. Seismologists saying that we estimate that in the next 100 years, there will be an earthquake of 6.5 or greater in this city, or in the that will affect this city, and we're 99% sure. And here's what one seismologist said this. He says, the reason why he says, really, we're 100% sure, but, you know, we're scientists and we can't say 100%. Well, here's a sobering fact, friends. 100% of people will die and stand at the day of judgment. Do you know that? Friends, I am 100% sure that Jesus Christ is coming back to this world. I just don't know when it's going to happen. I doubt that any of you here know the day and the hour of your death. Anybody? I hope not. I don't know that if anybody here really wants to know the day or the hour of your death. But neither do we know the day nor the hour of the end of this age. Mark chapter 13 says this. Chapter 13 says, to you, you too must keep watch, for you do not know. These are the words of Jesus. You do not know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Do not let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you, and I say to everyone, watch for him. Watch for the coming of the Lord. Why sound an alarm? Because there is a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who is it that we are to sound the alarm? This book of Joel, if you want to turn there in chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on God's holy mountain. To whom and to who, to where and to who is the trumpet blast, is the alarm to sound about the coming of the Lord, about the day of the Lord? Well, it answers it right here. It says, sound the trumpet, sound the alarm, specifically, sound it in Zion. Modern translations often say it as the one that Sister Skuse read, in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, on the day of prophesying about the day of Pentecost that would come, he said that you shall be my witnesses, and he mentioned that Jerusalem would be that first place. That it would start there, and it would go out from there, almost like the earthquake takes a epicenter, and it goes out from there. The epicenter was not in Mexico City. It was in Pueblo province, a little further to the south. But the effect of it reached to Mexico City. And the sound of the trumpet has to start in Mount Zion. The sound of the trumpet is meant for Jerusalem. The sound of the trumpet is meant for right here. Amen? This is where it starts. The holy hill of Jerusalem. He said that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we will be witnesses, we will be a trumpet, we will be a noise, we will be an alarm in Jerusalem. The first group that I want to talk about here is who is to receive the sound of the alarm. The sound of the alarm is first and foremost in our own hearts. In verse 12, this is what the Lord says. The sovereign God says this. He says to us. He says, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger, abounding in righteousness and loving kindness. Amen. The first place that the alarm has to go off is inside of us, in our own hearts. That's the epicenter of the alarm system. The Spirit of God in the believer is the place where the alarms need to go off first. The Lord is coming. Have you ever alarmed yourself? You know what I mean? Have you ever done something that shocked yourself? I mean, shocked others, but did you ever shock yourself and think that I couldn't have thought that? I couldn't have said that? I could have. You know, we need to shock ourselves. The Spirit of God, be open to the Spirit of God to speak to our own hearts about the coming of the Lord, about the nearness of Jesus, about what it means the day of the Lord, about the preparation that we need to have at all times and be ready in all seasons for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is coming. I'm 100% sure he's coming. Wasn't yesterday, but I'm 100% sure. Amen? Let it be a false alarm. That's fine, but let us wake up. Or do we need to alarm ourselves? You see, sleeping people make poor communicators. Well, because of my cold and the virus and whatnot, maybe my efforts and my skill at communicating may be hampered somewhat because of that, but at least I'm awake, friends, this morning. Sleeping people or drunkards, as the Scripture says here in this text of Scripture, we make very poor communicators. If you are asleep yourself, you will be unable to be part of the early warning system of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16 and 17, I want to read that. It says this, gather the people. This is the second one. Number two, sound the alarm, not only in our own hearts, but sound the alarm to the church for the people of God. In verse 16, 17, it says, verse 15, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, get the folks, get the church ready, amen, assemble the elders, you know, he does all these things. Verse 17, let the priests of the Lord minister, weep before the porch and the altar. Hallelujah. I love that picture of the elders, the priests, up. In my sense, in my view, my 2017 viewpoint, at the front, at the altar, weeping and hanging onto the rail and weeping and calling on the Lord. Calling on the Lord because the church has been woke up. The church, the alarm is going off in the church. Not just in individual hearts. Not just preparing for the coming of the Lord. Not just getting ready ourselves. But also the collective church of Jesus Christ waking up to the sound of the alarm. And this is what it looks like when the church is awake and alive. The people are called together. They gather in sacred assembly. And the leadership of the church of Jesus Christ weeps and mourns. Hallelujah. Because they want to see all the people of Israel ready. Used to be that the church bell in the church was a sacred call. We have a bell just not quite hitched up just now. But, you know, the bell would ring and everybody would gather. They weren't, you know, they're doing their chores and their farms so many years ago and maybe didn't so much look at their clocks. And the idea of the church bell was to call the neighborhood, call the people together. And the people would come together and worship the Lord because that's what they did on the Lord's day. It was the day to gather. It should be still. But the sacred assembly, the trumpet was a warning. It was a coming together. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, I believe I have that text of Scripture here. It says this, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, this is where it starts. This is where God deals. He deals with his people. If it begins here with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And he doesn't give the answer. It's kind of a rhetorical question. But you can guess.
You know, the trumpet for the people of God has several meanings. First of all, of course, it is a warning, but the second meaning of the trumpet blast going off is that to gather the sacred assembly. It is the church bell, you know, prophetically. It is the thing that gathers us together. There is a call that goes out. There is a spiritual awakening. Awakened people starts with individuals. Gathering together, being awakened by the Spirit of God, ready to serve and say, Lord, we're gathered together. What do we do? We didn't have an alarm system in Lanark, but still there in front of the fire hall. There's a bell. And now they had to take the thing out, little bong out of the bell, because too many of my cousins would go over there drunk and would ring the bell. All right, so it kind of defeated the purpose. They used to have a bell there, and they would ring the bell, and the people would get up out of bed, people would gather, people would bring buckets, you know, it was just the community thing, it was a warning, everybody gathered, and they would say, what do we do? And there was somebody that was assigned to say, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. When the bell, when the alarm went off, it wasn't a matter of, well, I'm a trained firefighter or I'm this or that. No, everybody came. Everybody came. Somebody could do something. You know, the ladies would make sandwiches or get coffee together or whatever else, you know, and set up tables and just, it was a community thing. When there was a crisis, when there was a call going out, everybody came together because everybody could do something. That's the house of God. That's the way we should see the church of Jesus Christ, that there's a call goes out on the Lord's Day. There's a call goes out at different times when the elders say, let's get together. The call goes out and say, gather together, because we need to come together and say, no, what do I do? What do I do? What's my role here? And everybody has a role and everybody has a place. There was also, of course, the trumpet blast was also a sign of celebration. There was victory, a time to celebrate. And, you know, I think that in our Lord's Day meetings, whenever we gather together, all three things happen. There is a warning. There is a gathering together, a call to gather, to serve. Oh, what do I do? You do this. You go out there and do this. You go out there and do this. You go out there and do this. We come together. We come together to find what the Spirit is saying to us, so that when we go out there, we will have our orders. But there is also that third thing, and that is that celebratory thing, that we come together because we have the victory, because we're on the Lord's side, or He's on our side, amen, and we are going to experience victory. So let's gather together, let's blow the trumpet, let's experience the victory as well. Those three things, all wonderful. That's what the shofar was used for. The shofar, by the way, was used by those appointed in the city to be watchmen on the walls, those appointed who are Levites, who are appointed by the elders to sound the alarm or call sacred assemblies or call celebrations. They were not charismatic dingbats who had a credit card and an Amazon account. Amen. Sometimes I show up at churches and I visit there, and every third person has a shofar, and I... Oh, Lord, help us. Anyways, but it was a sacred thing. Sound the alarm, thirdly, to your family. Third one. In verse 1 and 2 of chapter 1, right to the very beginning, here he says what the word of the Lord is for. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, elders. Listen to this, inhabitants of the land. Verse number three, it says, tell this to your sons about it, and let your sons tell it to their sons, and their sons to the next generation. It talks about the generations in this text. It says, tell it to your sons, tell it to your children. Let your children then tell it to their children, and let those generations continue to tell it to each other. This prophecy of Joel, and I wish I could find the book when I did this study in seminary by Dr. De Genges. That was his voice. Dr. De Genges. He wrote a book on the prophecy of Joel, and I had it somewhere in my library one time. When you read a prophecy, I know we tend to take little verses out of these things, what fits what we're doing right now. And, you know, the bigger context, of course, is what we need. This whole prophecy was for a nation. This whole prophecy, this whole word, this whole move of the Spirit of God that was prophesied, it was for generations. And later on, of course, we have our fun text. This is not so much a fun text, but the next chapter is a fun text. It's the Pentecost. You know, it's the your sons and daughters shall prophesy, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing. And, woo, we like that one, but we don't like the judgment part. We don't like the hard time, like, stuff, but we enjoy the other stuff. And so we take it, but of course the whole prophecy is to Israel. The whole thing is this is, here's the options, children. Here's what's coming. We are responsible to tell the next generation. I'm so glad that we are involved in children's ministry here, not ourselves. You know, I guess we all are in charge. Pastor Dan's in charge of creating them. And well, praise God for church growth. Yeah. He just announced our new church growth policy for 2018. Yeah. Let's hope. Anyways, you know, church growth, you know. Children, see what I laugh. What I laugh. It gets worse. So, children's ministry, God bless you, Jerry and Bonnie. God bless those that minister to the children. God bless those that share in this. But we're all part of children's ministry. We're all part of bringing the message, the warning. We are to be vocal alarms to the next generation. And to the generation thereafter that. We are responsible for them. They've been placed in our care. This week, if you read the news, of course, the heat wave that's been going through Ontario that we are blessed by or experiencing. In the greater Toronto area, there was a woman, a 50-year-old woman who was a babysitter who's had a young child that was placed in her care. Left that child in a car and went in shopping. Maybe you heard it in the news. Bystanders, they sounded the alarm. Somebody called the police. By the time the police got there, it was too late. The child was taken to the hospital, but the child perished. Friday, on the news, Friday morning, the lady is going into court. Cameras are all there, clicking and taking pictures. This woman was going into court because she had to stand before a judge. And she was charged with criminal negligence causing death. Because someone was put into her care. And she neglected that. And she went off and did her own thing. Friends, someday we will have to stand before the judge of all the universe. Will we be charged with criminal negligence causing spiritual death for someone that was placed in our care? Sound the alarm, children. The third or the fourth thing, or number D, I guess I have it, is this. Sound the alarm to the non-Christians. Sound the alarm to the sleeping, to the drunkards. Tell them, drunkards, verse number 5, it says this, of chapter 2, with the noise of charity. Chapter 1. Sound the alarm. Tell the drunkards and those who are asleep to wake up. Wake up. I'm saying here, I'm using a little liberty in the exegesis. And I am referring to the sleeping and the drunkards as those who do not believe, as those who are backslidden, as those who have fallen away, those who have fallen asleep. After we have been awakened in our own hearts and the church has been awakened and we realize our responsibility to take care of our own, and we sound the alarm that the Lord is coming and that the day of judgment is coming, that there will be an accounting for what goes on. And we tell our kids that and our grandkids that. And then he also says, listen, wake up the sleeping and the drunkard. Wake up those that are not even aware of what's going on. No matter how much warning is given, the day of the Lord will come, and it will come suddenly, and it will take most people by surprise. The New Testament words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is this. He says, it will come like a thief in the night. I know that's been a popular movie theme. And it sounds negative. Thief, stealing. It sounds like a negative type of terminology. But the idea is to be proactive, to have your doors properly secured. Joel describes the army of the Lord that will come in the day of God as fire going ahead of them. That's the tribulation and the fire that shall go behind them and that will consume things. No more economic system that we have. No more political system that we now have. It will be gone. It will be changed. It will be forever changed. Lastly, how are these trumpets to be sounded? Well, actually, there's two kind of trumpets mentioned in this. There's two kind of voices. Verse 11, if you want to look to this, at verse 11 it says, the Lord utters his voice. Verse number 1, sound the trumpet in Zion. Verse number 15, you blow the trumpet in Zion. And then verse 11, the Lord sounds an alarm. The Lord utters his voice. You go throughout Scripture and look at the texts that talk about the voice of the Lord. Usually, well, in most places, it is a reference to nature. It is a reference to the waters. It is a reference to the lightning. It is a reference to the thunderings. The voice of the Lord. He moves upon the waters. The voice of the Lord. So we have these two trumpets. We have our trumpet, we have our voice, and we have the voice of our God. How is God uttering his voice these days? Well, here's how God speaks. God speaks in tremendous blessing and great devastation. I would prefer that he would speak in only blessing. Here's what happens, friends. When God only speaks with great blessing, his voice is ignored. When God only speaks by blessing with good weather and good crops and good everything and prosperity and blessing and whatnot, how much praise is going up to God? How many cries are going up? Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you. But when tragedy after tragedy happens, how many people are crying out, oh God, oh God, save me. Oh God, deliver me. You say, well, are you saying that all these earthquakes and one after another, I thought that was just climate change. I thought it was just, whatever else, all these hurricanes. The worst in 100 years. The worst ever seen. The worst this. The worst that. Ever seen. Hear the cry of people crying out to the Lord. Immediately. Oh God. Oh God. Yes, the voice of the Lord is too often ignored in prosperity and blessing, but it is heard so much more clear to wake up nations when bad things happen. And I say this, whatever wakes them up is good. Then there's our voice. And I close with this. Verse 15, 17 in there, we have our voice, chapter 2, verse 1 again. We are to blow the trumpet in Zion. We are to raise our voice. As Jesus, we are to be the watchman on the wall. We are the priests, amen. Even though I don't want you to all go out and buy a shofar online and bring it to church on Sunday, like some wacko churches. One or two, okay, well, that's fine. But we are all watchmen. We are all Levitical priesthood. We are a nation of priests, the Bible says. We are all called to be watchmen on the wall. We are all called to share. Our voice is to be the voice of God. The oracles of God are to flow out of our voice. Thus saith the Lord. was the message of the Old Testament prophets. Are we not also today to be the prophetic voice of the Lord? Are we not also today be to those that say, thus saith the Lord? I mean, you say that with trembling when you say, thus saith the Lord. Are we not also the ones to be the watchmen of the wall like Ezekiel talked about, the ones that must blow the trumpet, blow the ram's horn when you see the enemy coming? And does it not say in Ezekiel also that if the trumpeteers, if the watchmen refuse to blow their trumpets, is it not true that the blood of the innocent will be upon their hands? Their hands? Our hands? We must keep our eyes open and our hearts right and our mouths at the ready. We say we just like to leave it up to God. God says, I want to pour my spirit upon you, and you will be my witnesses. We need to sanctify our voices. We need our tongues loosened from above. This is not a message, as I close and call our sister, whoever's coming to the piano or wherever. This is not a message of, oh, what do you call it? Those guys that go on there and do a 20-minute or a half-hour show on PBS and inspire you. Like the guy that did the course, Gail Carnegie course. You know, I'm going to help you to be able to speak to people. I'm going to help you today to encourage you to get out there and say something. It's not from the flesh. It's got to be from the Spirit. It's got to be prophetic. It's got to be supernatural. The sound of the Lord is supernatural sound. The sound of the trumpet must be a supernatural sound. We must depend upon the Lord for our voice. Like I am standing now, depending on the Lord for my voice. We must depend on the Lord for our words. We must depend upon the Lord for what it is that we are to say in warning. First to ourselves, Lord, Spirit of God, speak to us today. Spirit of God, are we awake to all the things and the realities that you're doing in our life? Or have we been lulled to sleep in some area of our life because we're just so busy with the things of our own life? Father, forgive us. Father God, cleanse us. Father God, awaken us. Spirit of the living God, awaken our own hearts. Spirit of the living God, sanctify our voices. That our voices might be the oracles of God, that what proceeds out of our mouth might be those things which come from heaven and have been cooked in the heart of God and delivered into our spirit. Bubbling up from our soul and out of our mouth comes the abundance. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. We know that you're coming. Lord, you will come when you come. But in the meantime, Father God, countless thousands are entering into eternity. Every moment, every hour, every day. The expiration date that we did not realize comes valid and they are gone. Father, today, help us to blow the trumpet in Zion. Could you just blow that trumpet as I continue to pray? Father God, today, blow the trumpet in Zion. We today in this church, if you feel you need to come to the altar right now, that's fine. We just want to spend some time in prayer. I don't know what they're going to sing, but that's fine. We're going to blow this trumpet. We're going to sound the alarm. Just let it soak into you. That's the benediction. That's the benediction. Sound the alarm. Father, we sound this alarm today in the house of God. Sound this alarm today over the people of God. We sound this alarm today over our community, over our children. We sound this alarm today over our politicians, over our nation. We say to them prophetic things. No one can hear them.
Thank you.